Living Hope Church, how about a round of applause for our praise team and band? I want you guys to know that Marcia is perfectly okay over there. So, thank you so much, DJ. Well, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said.
Amen.
If you would, please find your way to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua, chapter 4. And today, as we come into the house of the Lord, what a wonderful and magnificent day it is to praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
As we continue in our current series, titled, Living a Life of Significance, we come now today to a special message about the celebration and how we celebrate milestones and memorial stones in our life. Amen? And so we're going to look today at that. But I'd like to read a passage to you quickly from the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. You can write that in your margin if you would. But you shall receive power. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking right before He ascended. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Isn't that good that the Lord has laid down what we are to be in this world? We are to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the very reason for our existence. And if you have the Word of God, whether in printed or digital format, all over the sanctuary, if you would, please hold it up in the air. Amen. I see it all over the place. Amen. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter if it's in printed or digital format. What I want you guys to do is be able to read the Word of God throughout the week. And so as we continue today's series, we have seen that the nation of Israel has been traveling, that they have traveled out of the land of Egypt, and they are traveling to the promised land. And as we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, friends, Christians, and as Christians, we are to be witnesses. We are to be the witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our witness is to be a celebration about the opportunity that we have as Christians. You know, sometimes we think of it as, I need to share the gospel, or I must share the gospel. Friends, that's not something that we must do. It's not something we're mandated to do, but it is a blessing to do this. Amen?
Amen?
You see, the gospel is not something that we do. The gospel is not something that we share. As Christians, the gospel is something that we are.
Amen.
It's what we are. It's the thing that we declare. It's the truth that we hold self-evident, to coin a phrase. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth in the fullness of time. And that as the Lord Jesus Christ came to the world in that time, He came here in human form and He lived a perfect, sinless life. Therefore, as a perfect sacrificial lamb, He went to the cross of Calvary, where He died for all of our sins. He died for Larry's sins. He died for Marguerite's sins. He died for Ranel's sins and Ranel Jr.'s sins. He died for all of our sins. And that when He died for our sins, that He was placed in the grave and He remained there 3 days. But on the third day, He rose again to the glory of God the Father. And when the Lord Jesus Christ rose again, Scripture says very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that if we receive Him as Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, and confess our sins, we will be saved. And that's a glorious thing. And so today is going to be a bit of a celebration for Living Hope Church, as well as for the people in the story that we're reading about here. And you will notice that we have our children in the sanctuary today. We do that every single month when we have the Lord's Supper. We want the children to hear what this is all about. Amen?
Amen.
So, Christians are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like witnesses in court, we are called to testify about what we have seen and what we have heard the Lord do in our lives and the lives of others. We are to do so speaking truthfully. You know, when God does His miracles, it doesn't require any embellishment. Amen?
Amen.
You just need to declare what the Lord has done. Our task from God is not to embellish. It's not to whitewash. It's not to exaggerate the truths that God gives us. Our calling is to tell the truth as it is set down in the Word of God, period. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, that's our... But there is one difference between the witness in a court and the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the witness in a court of law eventually steps down from the witness stand. We never step down. We declare our witness throughout the world. The witness for Christ never does step down. We live in a fallen world. And since the claims of Christ are always on trial in this fallen world, I'm going to say that one more time just in case you missed it. Since the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ are always on trial in this fallen world, then court is perpetually in session. And you and I and all of the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ remain under oath. What is our oath? Our oath is to be a living testimony to Jesus, a memorial to God's goodness. Amen?
Amen?
See, I thought I'd get a testimony there. Let me try that one more time. I'm glad I brought my own testimony. Our oath is to be a living testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, a memorial to God's goodness.
Amen.
See, that's an amazing thing. God is so good. God is good?
All the time.
And all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, we are here for His glory, friends. Our oath is to be a memorial to God's goodness. And today's story in Joshua is just one of the most climatic events in all of biblical history. Now, we're going to get to reading our passage in just a moment. I didn't forget. It's one of the most climatic events in all of biblical history for the Jewish people, and here is why. You see, after 40 years in the desert, the time has come. They've been wandering around. They've walked across the Jordan River, as we spoke about last week. The Jordan River opened by the miraculous power of God. Let me ask you this. Have there been rivers of judgment, rivers of shame, flooded, swollen difficulties in your life that the Lord has taken that problem and simply parted it and you walk through? You see, you should have those times in your life. And that's what they have done. They've come across the Jordan River that the Lord, just like the Red Sea, parted. You see, behind them were decades of meandering through the desert. Because of their disobedience, the original generation, that first generation, has all passed away. I'm sure that the nation of the Jewish people, I'm sure that they have painful memories in that 40 years of countless funerals for an entire generation of people in the desert who would not trust God's promises. Never forget the promises of God. Never forget that God is good. But now for these Jewish people, a new chapter in their lives begins. Think about this. They've come from the desert. They have come from the old ways. This is a symbol of the resurrected and the raised life. The symbol of Christ is a symbol of the Christian life. And ahead lies the promised land. A land richer than all of their dreams. A land more fruitful than all of their hopes. A land more beautiful than their imagination can possibly see. Why? They've been in a desert for all these years. Sometimes when you live in a desert, you think the rest of the world looks like a desert. Sometimes when you're going through difficult times in your life, you can't see the way out. And that's not how life is meant to be lived. Amen?
Amen.
You are meant to live a life of significance for your Lord. You are meant to live the victorious life. Sure, there will be difficulties in this world. Sure, there'll be times of trouble. But let not your heart be troubled. I am yours, says the Lord Jesus Christ. I have gone to the cross for you. And so this new chapter begins. But here's the thing about this promised land. It is theirs. Because God always keeps His promises. Always. That land is theirs. Yeah, Pastor, but the Midianites and the, the Canaanites and the Amalekites and the Hittites and all the otherites are there, and supposedly there's giants in that land. That doesn't matter. If the Lord says it's yours, it's yours. Amen. Hallelujah, amen? Amen? If the Lord says it's yours, it is yours. But think about this now as they've crossed the Jordan River. What must they have felt like that day? What must that have felt like in their heart? To get an idea, let me ask you this. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Think back in your life. Have you ever unlocked the door to your first home? You bought your first home and you unlock the door and you walk in your first home. It's your home. It may be a home that you lost hope in. You envisioned it. You planned for it. You imagined what you would do with it when you had it. But when you step foot in that front door, man, there is no feeling like that. Amen? When you set foot in that front door, your emotions soar. Your heart is filled by what God has done. And let me tell you something. That's the story of our lives. We have promises from God that He means good for us and not for evil. He has a plan for us. And you may not have seen the fulfillment of His plan yet, but it's coming. Amen. How do I know that? Because the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord has given promises. And you are to believe in those promises. Amen? Amen? And so for the Jews, this is not just about witnessing the fulfillment of God's plan. Listen closely to what I'm about to say. This is not just about witnessing the fulfillment of God's plan. For them to actually be the fulfillment of God's plan to Abraham must have been overwhelming. You see, the Lord gave that promise to Abraham. And as they crossed the River Jordan back into the promised land, they knew. Their preachers have been telling them. Moses has been telling them, you are the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Live in Hope Church. Whether you're sitting here or you're watching on the internet, if you are redeemed of God, if you are a born-again believer, you are the fulfillment of God's promise to Adam. When He said that He's coming, He said that He will crush His head. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ will crush the head of Satan. How was Satan's head crushed? On the cross at Calvary. That's how it was done. Do you ever feel like a fulfillment of the promise of God? Did you realize that that's what you are? You know, see, sometimes we forget who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was sharing with our Wednesday night group that I sat down one day in a park. Miss Ruth Ann was visiting her family in Louisiana. They were over there eating all the good food that I couldn't have. I'll just let that settle on you for a moment. And I was sitting on a bench in the park in the little walk area in our neighborhood. And I just started writing down who we are. And I wrote it in my Bible. I came up with 51 and then it got dark. You see, what are we? Let me run down. I'm not going to hit all 50, but let me hit you with a few of them. Amen? Amen. We are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are the child of God. You are part of the true vine. You are Christ's friend. You were chosen by Christ to be fruitful. You are a slave of righteousness. You are enslaved to God. You are children of Almighty God. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are the temple of God. You are united to the Lord. You are reconciled. I could go on and on and on and on. I have biblical passages here to show. Never forget who you are, Living Hope Church. Don't forget that royal blood flows through your veins. You are the inheritors of heaven. And when you speak the name of Jesus Christ, every demon in Broward County flees the light. Amen. So don't be worried about the things that go on in this world. Amen? And so it must have been overwhelming to be the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. Their joy must have been magnified by recent events. After all, they've just crossed a raging, flooded, deadly river on dry land. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Satan. Humanly speaking, getting over 2 million people across the Jordan, across that river, was impossible. But God. But God steps in and performs a miracle as amazing as the parting of the Red Sea. Listen, friends, this is God's signature once again. In the same way, to let His people know that His word never fails because you can trust God. Can you imagine as they marched across the dry land of the Jordan, the singing, the shouting, the dancing? You see, Baptists, we don't like to say that. People ask me, Pastor, what do you think about dancing? I said, well, okay, we're Baptist. You can move your feet or your hips, not both. And all God's people said. But I tell you what, there's days when we're in the middle of worship and I don't know what to do with myself. This morning, man, the worship that we had with our praise team was just amazing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was simply amazing. So their joy must have been magnified. But God. And you can trust God's word. So, but there's also one important act that we need to look at this morning. And now we're going to get to my actual message. And it won't take us long. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, if you are there, please say amen.
Amen.
Having safely crossed the Jordan, they now receive instructions from the Lord. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over to Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stirred firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. You see, Joshua has done exactly what he was told. Now pay close attention to the process here. Don't miss the scene. Sometimes we have to step back. We've got the Word of God right here. We think it's just a parable or a story. No, this is an actual scene. So let's think about the scene of what happened. Look at the last verse of the chapter right before, verse 17. If you're there, please say amen. Let's try that one more time. If you're verse 17, say amen.
Amen.
Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Where, church? In the midst of the Jordan. In the middle of the dry river. They stood there. They're not moved. Picture this. The people of Israel have gone across. How did they get across? Because the river was swollen. But the Lord said, send up the preachers with the Ark. The priests came forward with the ark, and as soon as they set foot in the river, the river dried up all the way back to Adam. We talked about that last week. Now the priests are standing there, these 12 priests bearing the ark are standing there in the midst of dry ground in the Jordan River. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. When it says all the people, it means all the people other than the priests. The priests are still standing there. When we look at our passage now, at what we're looking at today, in Joshua 4, 1 through 3, Joshua receives his instructions. Look at this. Look at the end of verse 1. What does it say? The Lord spoke to Joshua. The priests are standing there. The 2 million, over 2 million people standing safely on the other side. They're waiting on their pastor to finish this up. We need to move on. We're heading to the promised land. Wait a minute. I'm getting a word from the Lord. You see, the Lord speaks to the pastor. The Lord speaks to the pastor's heart to give the vision. He speaks to all of the people as well. But it's the pastor's job, it's the preacher's job to share that vision with the people. And that's why when a pastor, any pastor, not just this pastor, shares the vision of a church, shares the vision of what God is doing, you have your Bibles open in your lap. You know the Word of God so that you know that what He's saying lines up with scriptural truth. Amen?
Amen.
And so, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute, guys. I'm getting a word from the Lord. Look at verse 4. If you're there, say amen. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. Okay? You, come back here. What do you mean, come back here? I just crossed that thing. I just passed through my troubles. You're telling me that just because I trusted the Lord to get across, I have to go back to where the Lord has made this dry ground? Joshua goes, you, all 12 of you, get back over here. The Lord's not done with you in this spot yet. Why is the Lord not done? Look, well, what are they supposed to do? Look at verse 5, reading from the Word of God. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord. Here's what this means in the original. In other words, come back down into the Jordan. Make sure you go past what God has safely provided, the ark, into dry land, and just go right past them and pause there. Are you with me? Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's the scene. Before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So there's 12 men. They're coming back. Each one is going to pick up a stone out of the middle of the Jordan. They're going to go past where they think the safety lies, the ark. However, it's safe for the priests. Are they supposed to touch that thing? Absolutely not. All right. So now, verse 4, you come back. Verse 12, here it is. Here's what you're supposed to do. Now, bear in mind that these are stones that they're picking up that had been covered by a challenge to their faith in their God, the swollen river. Remember, they had to exercise some faith to walk across on the dry land. When they got there, what did Joshua say? Prepare yourself. Make your bread, because we will cross the Jordan. They're going, wait, we don't build any bridges? We don't build any boats? Nope, that's not what the Lord said. He said, we're going to walk across. So now they're being asked to go back there. Stones they're picking up that at the hand of God are not only accessible, but they're totally safe to get. Can you imagine such a thing? It'd be like you walking out into the middle of the Colorado River at full flood, in the Grand Canyon, and the Lord has stopped the water upstream, and you've made it safely across, and Pastor Larry says, Ronell, I need you to come back here and pick up a rock. I don't want to come back and pick up a rock. I'm safe. I'm across here. I got my guitar with me. Okay, hold my guitar. Verse 6, if you're there, say amen. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Like any good leader, Joshua explains to the people, he explains to the men, the reason that they're doing this. In other words, listen. He's saying effectively, listen. River stones don't naturally stack up 12 high. They don't do that. But someday, our descendants will come to this spot, and they will want to know an explanation for these neatly stacked stones that we're going to place over in our camp. They're going to want an explanation. Verse 7. Here's the explanation. Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. How good is God? In other words, this is what this is. These stones are to be a memorial to our great God. Amen?
Amen.
It's to be a memorial of what God has done through His people. It's to be a memorial of what God has done in His people. It's to be a memorial of what God has done for His people. It is to be a memorial to our great God. The things that we do are not a memorial to ourselves. They're a memorial to the Lord. Our praise team did not sing for any acclamation for themselves, but to bring glory to God. I am not up here just flapping my lips to read some words, but to expound and give exegesis of the Word of God for the glory of God Almighty. Look at verses 23 and 24. The last two verses in that chapter. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so good. Don't miss this. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The Lord's hand is mighty. And so I ask you today, is the Lord's hand mighty in your life? Do you believe in a God of miracles, or do you have a little bitty God? Do you believe God can do great and mighty things? Church, this is what happens when the humanly impossible meets the promises of God. This is the result when the implausible comes up against the glorious riches of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I know this has been a long lead-in, and I've got 3 points today, but they're very brief points. And these points are all about what do these memorial stones mean? What do they stand for? Our first point, if you'll just write into your notes. We have a mighty God. We have a mighty God. You see, down through the generations, hearing the story generation after generation, the people of Israel would know absolutely that they had not crossed the Jordan on their own. They had not done this on their own power. This memorial was a reminder to God's people that they should never, ever forget. Never forget what? My God did this. This is what my God did. And it is by His hand that we safely crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. I'm not sure you quite got that. Well, let me explain. Friends, we want our own place, right? We want a place to worship of our own. That we're not renters, not hirelings. We want a place of worship of our own. You want to know the secret to that? Let our lives be a memorial to the Lord. Amen. Stand strong in faith that God has done what He will promise He will do. We may be the seeds that He has planted, that one day on this very ground, acres and acres and acres will be ripped out in a giant church, resurrected and raised up to the glory of God. You may be those seeds. And you have God's promise that He's going to work through you. You have it in His Word that we are to be witnesses for Him. And when you do, God will do great and mighty things. You may just be the seeds. Now, if you're young enough, like me, you may be around to see the fulfillment of those seeds. I plan on preaching, friends, till they take me out of here feet first. As long as I'm viable, as long as I bear the truth of the Word of God, I want to preach as long as the Lord lets me. Why? Because I'm so happy of what the Lord has done in my life. I want to be that memorial stone for my God. So be grateful for what we have and what we trust. Never forget what His Word says. Well, if you look up on the screen, we'll have a couple of passages here. First is Psalm 127, verse 1. Listen to this. Isn't this good? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Listen, friends, we're not going to build anything. The Lord's going to do it. The Lord is going to do it. Because unless He does it, you don't get to keep it. Anything you need to manipulate to get, as a Christian, the Lord never lets you keep. You need to be honest. You need to be forthright. You need to be a memorial stone to the Lord. There's another passage, too, over in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, and it says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" You see, we are seeking the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, you know, we have a new location fund right now in our church financial system that is consecrated to God's house. Not the place where we're renting right now. It's not to pay rent. It's not to buy paint. It is consecrated to the place the Lord has planned for us. And the leadership of this church is determined that from start to finish, that every dollar that you give, that every nail that is ever driven in for our new place, to every stroke of paint, will be for His glory. Amen. It will be for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. What's the short version of what I just said? What is the short version of all the bloviating I just did? When we go build our new place with our new location fund, we want God to be all over it. Amen. We want to be God all up in it. And we want God to be all in while we're doing that, this place. Because this is where He has us to worship right now. So first, we have a mighty God. Second, we have a missionary purpose. You see, Joshua told Israel that the stones would serve as a reminder to all people of the earth. That was in verse 24. You see, I don't want anyone to be confused about what we are all about, Living Hope Church. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings. We have, are you ready for this? We have no mission here at Living Hope Church except the Great Commission. In Matthew, you should see it up on your screen, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." All of the Godhead involved in the baptism of His people. You see, sometimes we folks go to church, you know, and here at Living Hope Baptist Church, we celebrate with our whole hearts. Amen? We raise our hands. We move around. And we do so, though, in a way that honors God. Amen? Amen. Now, some churches are all I don't even know the way to say this. They're just stuffy. And if you're singing next to them and you sing real loud or you raise your hand, you know, you get one of these looks. You know, when we're out of time and I'm visiting, I just sing louder. They're going to have to join in or everybody's just going to hear me. And that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, I was amazed this morning that those three ladies sounded like they sounded. It was magnificent. And I hope Marsha's okay, you know. And then when it was two, the Lord made up the difference. Amen?
Amen.
It's simply magnificent singing. I just loved it. Preach right off of my notes, friends. So friends, the place that we meet each week, the place that we are saving for, are not memorials to us. They're memorials to the Lord. We exist to know God and to make Him known to the world. That is our purpose for existing. Where we meet each week exists not so we can be comfortable where we are. Where we meet each week does not exist so that we can be proud of where we meet. It's a place where we gather for God's glory to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is all about God. It is all about a memorial to Him. But may I ask today, which stone are you? Are there memorial stones in your life? Which brings us to our third point. Because we have a magnificent mandate. And here's what that mandate is. That we must go where the Lord sends us. Now, for some of you, you've been in this church since Harvest Chapel. And Harvest Chapel merged with another place over on Coleridge Drive, and we became Harvest Chapel. Then we became First Baptist Church of Coral Springs. And then we became Living Hope Church. And we're still Living Hope Church, but over the course of the last, I don't know, 15, 16 years, we moved 9 times. Now, any other church would have never survived that. But the Lord has a battle to fight. And when we started out, we had a huge crowd. And the Lord says, no, 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 I want my glory to be shown. That's too many. And then we came to a place where we are now, where I believe, like Gideon's men, we have those soldiers that hold a spear in one hand. And they drink the water from their hands. And I think the Lord is about to do great and mighty things. Amen. That's our mandate. And so, friends, the stones from the Jordan mark the movement of God among His people. These memorial stones marked and testified to the willingness of a people to leave what they had known in order to go with God. And we should all have memorial stones in our lives that point out a time when we boldly faced challenges to our faith. Now, how many of you guys remember that we used to set up church every single Sunday morning? Listen, I don't mean come in and plug in the guitars. I mean set up everything. The sound system. The chairs. The sound booth. Everything. We did it in a gym. We did it in a conference center. We did it in a school. We did it on a property that had nothing but a warehouse on it. And what did we do every time? We glorified God. We were happy where we were. We were the memorial stones of what the Lord has called us to do. You see, we should all have that memorial in our life. The time where we stepped into the water. to believe by faith in what we could not see. Matter of fact, I'm hoping Brother Cliff will get himself some singers and sing that song for us one Sunday morning. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. You see, what I want us to do, Living Hope Church, I want us to be memorial stones to the Lord. I want us to live with such faith that we're going to walk right out and step out so far in faith the Lord has no choice but to save us. Amen. We want to do great and mighty things for the Lord. Amen? Amen? This is so important. You see, because between the realization of our dream to go to the new location that God has planned for us and where we are standing and standing right now, there will be some staggering challenges. Because the Lord does not want not one person fully committed to the... Satan does not want even one person that's fully committed to the Lord, much less a roomful. Are you ready to do battle? Are you ready to grab Satan by the nose and kick him in his fanny all the way out of Coral Springs, Florida? That's what I'm ready for. Now listen, I know that at this moment for a few of us, we may not be able to see how God will do it. We may not be able to see where the money will come from to build this new church. We may not be able to see the people that God will use to fill this one, much less a new or bigger place. But friends, we only need to see one thing. God. Amen. We need to see that we serve a God that is faithful. We need to see that we serve a God that is mighty. And we serve a God that has a future for us. This body of believers called Living Hope Church has been and will continue to be, as long as Pastor Larry Brister is the pastor of this church, all about God and His glory. Amen. All about God. We'll be all about giving to missionary work. We'll be all about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know any other way to say it. The only reason that we exist, Living Hope Church, is that it is all about God. Amen. It's all about Him. He has given us a missionary purpose. Therefore, we must go where He sends us. It may be right here for a while. That's up to the Lord. Amen? Amen. The Lord may be teaching us a little patience right now. Sometimes I just want to say, Lord, we got it. I'm not sure we got the patience, but we understand the lesson. In other words, we need to go where God sends us so God can manifest His glory more fully through us. Let me share something as we finish up with you. In closing, if you're sitting here today, if you're watching on the internet, and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would imagine that all of today's message has been a little strange to you. It's been a little unusual. So let's start with a basic idea, shall we? You may not know all the catchwords that us Christians use. You may have a Bible sitting on the coffee table at home that's open, but you might not have ever looked at it. You may wonder about this God and this Lord Jesus that we talk about. So why don't you just take this step of faith? Just read the first verse in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, if you can accept that same God that cast the stars into the heavens, that same God that told the ocean, "You may go here and no further," that same God that created you and your child, that same God loves you. And He sent His Son to die for your sins. That's how much He loves you. That if you would only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. See, when you recognize God as a creator, you can't help but admire Him. You can't help but admire the mightiness of Him. When you accept that God knows best, and you recognize His wisdom, you'll learn from God. You'll learn those tough times. What was the lesson there? When you discover God's strength, His absolute omnipotence, you will depend on Him and not on for your own power. But friends, everybody look up here now. If you're on the internet, look up here. Don't look down at your mouse. Stop reading whatever you're doing. If you're watching a DVD, put your cold drink down. Friends, it is only when God saves you that you can worship Him. Amen. You want to worship God? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot do anything else but worship Him. You want to know why us Christians just won't shut up? It's because we serve a risen Savior. It's because a dead man got up and walked. And it was the Son of God that did that. Receive Jesus Christ today, won't you? Receive Him. Why does it have to be Jesus Christ? John chapter 14 and verse 6 reads, this was Jesus speaking. He said, somebody start me here. Who knows this? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been saved.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.